AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
What? Wait, is this the podcast which has a million downloads?
A million?
I'm so glad.
Listen.
What's the difference between a listen and a download?
You can listen to something without having to download it.
Oh, I see.
So you
could be listening to it streamed.
Illegally, perhaps?
Yes,
illegally. Not illegally.
Wow. A lot of illegal listens. I like that.
You were still a podcast.
Yeah.
And basically what we're saying is if we could do a hands up who's listened to the Confessions podcast, there'd be a million people who've put up their hands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Anyway, so that's us. Here we go. Another Confessions podcast right here about to be unveiled from your faithful friends at Greatest Hits Radio. There's Susie in the pub.
I am indeed.
Brother Matt in the gutter.
Yes.
Sister Holly in charge of the cupboard de tat.
Mm-hmm.
And coming up, we go to the parish notice board where we catch up with your correspondence on the... You know, yeah. The parish notice board?
Well,
yes. We're going to go there.
And what's going to be on there, I wonder?
Well, it's the parish notice board.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Basically, it's a notice board.
But
it's
if you
a
can
board
imagine
for notices in the yes middle of the parish.
Parish, mm-hmm, right. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, you get to hear this week's confessions from the show. Obviously, that's why you're here. We head for a kind of sitcom in a funeral parlour. With an open casket, work in the ceiling, a hoover, and am I missing a screwdriver? All of that. Burning hoops of fire, I think you'll find
very
that one's
good
called.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a lack of restraint after a few glasses of fizz and a case of grand theft gatto.
Oh.
In Mike's confession. Someone left the cake out in the rain.
And I don't think that I can take it anymore. Isn't that, who's that from?
Written by Jimmy Webb.
Jimmy Webb, amazing.
He wrote
writer.
It. Yes.
Yeah.
Carly Simon.
No.
Donna yeah Summer.
Carly Simon.
The Summer. Famous version is Richard Harris.
Harris. Thank
but
you.
Richard Harris?
Yes.
The actor?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
The actor Richard Harris?
Yes. You know Richard Harris, the actor?
Out in the rain.
Wow.
He did the original.
He did. So Richard Harris, as in mm-hmm from
okay
Star Wars. Not Star Wars.
He's the only one that wasn't in Star Wars. Anyway, we head down the social club for a night on the one-armed bandits with Jim's tale, Living by Numbers. First, we're going to hear one of the most shocking confessions I think we've ever had when Thomas asks for forgiveness on behalf of his mother in Mamma Mia.
Here I go again. Oh, I knew the second line to that.
Why did you sing it?
In the Spanish, because that's how it originally... Mamma Mia,
I think it's Swedish.
I think you'll
then
find
it's not Spanish.
Mamma Mia. So, mind
anyway,
you, that's Italian.
It doesn't matter. On with the confession.
Wow.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession is a little bit of a shocker. I think it comes from Thomas. I've changed a lot of names mm-hmm here. Even though it goes back to 1967.
Wow.
Matt, okay. Simon, Susie, and the simply wonderful team at Greatest Hits Radio. This goes back to 1967, and I'm asking for forgiveness from my mother. I haven't actually forgiven or forgotten what she did, although we are good friends, and obviously I'm her son, which is debatable at times, though. And so it's the April of 1967. My mother dropped my elder sister at school in London, complete with her straw boater and fancy uniform. I was taken to junior school with my younger sister. Nothing much of note yet, says Thomas. This was obviously before mobile phones and emails and the internet. But when school finished, the teacher escorted me and my sister into the playground so that we could be collected by my mum. We waited and waited and waited and waited and we watched out for her, but she never arrived. Eventually, my dad had been contacted and he arrived to collect us. I must mention that my mum and dad were separated at the time. My dad was deeply concerned that my mum hadn't collected us as arranged, and so he took us to my mum's mum, who said she had no idea where her daughter was either. Well, wasn't this a curious thing? Well, here's the interesting but difficult part to tell you. And after 57 years, I can't forget that day and neither can my sisters, as you're about to find out. You see, my mother was seeing a second-hand car salesman. And you're thinking, well, okay, I mean, my parents were separated and so on.
Yeah.
Well, Holly or Susie might actually forgive me and for the first time ever forgive someone, but it won't be my mother, because what transpired was that my mother, without telling anyone, had emigrated to Canada.
Wow. What?
Wow.
With the second-hand
car
salesman. She left three young children, all under seven, without telling anyone, without telling her mum. I'm 64 now. This was 3 months before my seventh birthday. She didn't return for 18 months. She sent cards for birthdays and Christmas. Thanks a lot, mum.
Wow.
I seek forgiveness for her because this affects us all on a daily basis. I've tried asking her why, and she said at 21... Is an interesting answer.
Okay.
At 21, with three children under seven, she couldn't cope, and her boyfriend was really hot as mustard.
Oh, right.
And so she had to go.
Okay.
Even now, she dismisses what she did. Will Susie or Holly forgive me? I doubt it, but I need to tell someone, so I'm sending it to you. So there's clearly a bit of therapy going on.
Goodness me.
Here. But as I'm halfway through, I was thinking... Okay, I don't know where this is going, because often you can tell where a confession is going to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wasn't expecting that. The reason why Thomas' names changed and siblings weren't picked up is because the mother had emigrated to Canada without telling anybody. And that's pretty much the whole of the confession. So, I don't know. So what Thomas wants is forgiveness for his mother. So obviously Thomas has done nothing wrong. Forgiveness for his mother. And Susie, you have the enviable job of going first.
Well, I have so many questions. I don't know how you could... How could you drop your children off and then just get on a plane and emigrate?
Like, boyfriend was hot as mustard. That's
very
the reason.
But I just feel like you've got to have that conversation. Did you not confide in any friends, or I don't, you know, maybe you don't have a relationship with your ex-husband to be able to have that conversation, but I feel like maybe you should have. I don't know, Thomas's mum. I feel I don't know what I can do here, but maybe there was enough reasons as to why you needed to do it, and you wouldn't have done something that big without just reason. So maybe for that.
What, so that there might be a good reason?
Oh, I don't know. I just feel like you've got to have. I can't forgive her.
Boyfriend was hot as mustard.
Yes.
Well, maybe he was really, really, really good looking and I don't know.
It's the proverbial second-hand car salesman. We've gone to Canada. Brother Matthew.
I mean, I love that. What a great story. What a great twist. Didn't see that coming.
No.
Being hot as mustard, though, I mean, overrated. It only lasted 18 months, didn't it? Clearly not that hot, boyfriend with the second-hand cars. I don't know whether I'm going to forgive on this one. This could be a first. Normally, I can find some way of forgiving, but leaving kids are going off to Canada for 18 months because he's hot as mustard. Oh, hot as mustard boyfriends, they're the worst. So for that reason, I'm afraid, unforgiven.
Unforgiven.
Unforgiven Thomas's mum.
Oh, my goodness me.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
That was a genuinely... it was an astonishing confession anyway, but for you not to find any way of actually forgiving.
I don't think... Yeah. Did we? I can't remember whether anyone forgave that, because I think it's sort of we're all... pretty shocked.
Before we head back to the confessional booth, it's time to catch up with the new bits and pieces on the parish notice board, the board in the middle of the parish where the notices
are. The notices are,
yeah, the
and
notices
they are full of reviews. Spoiler alert, they are all five stars.
Oh.
Five stars, says Bugbird H. Five stars, fantastic.
Russian troll,
fantastic podcast. Five gold stars, keeps me smiling on my weekend walk. Spursy Spurs says five stars, all time great. How good is Father Simon? Real star of the show, Matt, and whichever other underling turns up back on our podcast devices. Wow. I'm unable to catch Confessions Live. Could do with a little bit of punctuation here, Spursy. Anyway, I'm unable to catch Confessions Live as some people have proper jobs, so have the pod playing on my way home on Friday. It's truly the best way to start the weekend. The one and only five-star podcast available anyway. Oh, my God.
One sentence.
One full stop, maybe. Dear, oh dear.
You could always read it ahead of time and add your own punctuation.
I could have done, couldn't I? Yes, but I delivered it in the original. And Jones 2402, brilliant. 10 stars. Simply a great podcast. Best laugh you will get every week, full stop. Everybody involved, Simon, Susie and Holly are fantastic, but you just have to love Matt. Great wisdom, humour, and a fellow Liverpool supporter.
Wow.
I always listen to Drive Time, as I did when you were working for the Dark Side. I tend to not listen to The Confession each night so that I can enjoy the podcast each Friday when it is all fresh and new. Never stop doing this.
You never realise you're in the Dark Side until suddenly things change.
Until,
and you go, oh, yes. I'm in
somebody opens the curtains and you realise...
Ta-da! Yeah. Wrong. Anyway, we have another rather large notice here, adorned with glitter, and it says, The Confessions Podcast has just hit... A million listens.
A million? Oh, I say, very exciting.
Mm-hmm. It's very good, isn't it? Because you never know, do you? You just sit here thinking, well, we'll just do this stuff, see what happens, and it turns out a million listens.
A million people listening. Crazy. That's great. Fabulous. Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much, and spread the word, because that'd be a lovely thing, because now we've got 1 million, I'm feeling as though we could do better. Then
2 million would be better, wouldn't it? Five.
Well, that'd be nice. Five.
Let's go for the five. Ooh. The big five by next week.
Okay.
Wow, okay.
Yep.
We're going to go knock on some doors. Yeah. Susie, is there anything that's caught your eye?
I've got an email here from Joe and Dave, which made me laugh. It says, hi, Matt.
Yeah, carry on.
Hi, Simon, Matt, yes. Holly and Susie. As a subscriber to Greatest Hits Radio, I find it wonderful that I can listen to you all without the adverts. It's worth every penny. However, where I live in the deepest, darkest Dorset, driving my car means I often lose service. My husband, Dave, hates this and would rather listen to the adverts via FM. We've got DAB, but the service is just as sketchy. So we've reached a compromise in our twice-weekly journey to the gym, 30 minutes each way, by listening to the Confessions podcast. I put up with a minimal advert and Dave gets an uninterrupted show. Being quite elderly and finding the gym necessary rather than enjoyable, your podcasts at least provide laughter and enjoyment.
Can I just say before you carry on, no one enjoys the gym.
No one.
Yeah, that's true.
No,
and also, if someone looks as though they're enjoying it, they're just an out-of-work actor and... Just ignore them. Also, anyone who's stripped to the waist, usually a bloke, obviously, but they're just going, hello, pecs, hello, sweat.
The worst.
Okay, sorry, anyway,
carry on. Okay, and she said, I've not managed to provide a 5-star review yet, as I couldn't actually see how to leave a review, even though it absolutely deserves 5 stars. So please, could you send us something from the tack cupboard?
Yes.
Thanks for a great show from Joe and Dave.
Thanks, Joe and Dave. Do we have something that we could send them?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've got some signed postcards signed by you two.
Yes.
And some lovely mugs.
Anyway, keep your additions to the Parish Notice Board coming in, please. You send them to confessions@greatestitsradio.co.uk. A couple of mentions now to Emma, just Emma, Stephen Hill, Eurobabs, Elaine Gwither, Swinky08, Putin's Trot, Oggy, Andy, Lockwood. Bracket Threads. So Andy Lockwood,
the Threads person.
Oh, he's the Threads person.
Just the one.
Yep. Everyone head over to Threads and Blue Sky because it's more pleasant there. That's basically the gist of everything. They all sent in humus or hummus, basically, variations of that.
Because of the
interesting differentiation, I think, between Holly and the rest of the world.
Yes,
the rest of the world.
Well, and her boyfriend.
You and the bloke. And,
yes.
The bloke indoors.
But then didn't we Google it and I was right?
That's what Matt would say.
No.
Pretty Matt, we'll have a new code word at the end of this particular podcast, page 5. Now, it's time to head to...
Stripping back the magic.
Now it's time to head to the Mark Knopfler section of the show, stuff that's just too seedy or gross or sometimes illegal to put on the radio show. We're going to start with Winston. All right, Winston. It might have been nice to be away from the family for a stag do immediately, thinking this is going to be awful. But you got a little too excited too soon, didn't you? Having... the big beastie breakfast in the Greasy Spoon before you got on the ferry. Oof. And you also thought an early morning crossing was the perfect excuse to start drinking the hard stuff. But you didn't find your sea legs, did you? But having the whole ferry see it in reverse while you shouted at the fishes, is that what you called it, really? For the whole ferry crossing was not big or clever. So Winston, big breakfast, the hard booze. Stuff, so that's spirits. Are we having spirits? Are we having spirits? Are we?
After a full...
And then get on the ferry crossing.
You just don't do it. Too much vom.
Yeah, no.
Too much vom.
Also, you vom there, it comes back and goes in someone else's face.
Yeah.
Oh, on the boat?
Yes.
Yeah. Does it?
Backwash vom.
Right, okay. Well...
Because the wind picks it up.
You know you're supposed to go head to the back of the boat, aren't you? That's what they tell you.
Yeah, but maybe you can't keep it in.
Oh, right.
In the words of Cat Stevens, you just got to let it out. Got to show the world.
Yeah.
Anyway, also, so Winston, no, I don't think
so.
And Danny, I don't care how much you don't like to spend time with your sister-in-law, as you find her stupid.
Right. I mean,
and
harsh.
You disagree with all her views.
Okay.
It is no excuse to add some of your bodily fluids into a very expensive hand cream. And
what?
Just because you can come up with the idea after a few bevies is no excuse for that behaviour. Danny, you're just a revolting person.
Oh, my goodness. No, that's not...
Learn to engage.
Oh, my goodness.
With your sister-in-law. Sit down with your sister-in-law and say, look, I know that you might think this and I think that.
But we have different views.
Can we meet halfway? Because we'd like to build the world a Coke and drink in perfect harmony.
Correct. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Why can't we all
It's all about the kids.
It is. So true.
So Danny, I think you really need to sort your life out and then come back.
Yes.
Email us again when your life is sorted. And if you need help sorting your life, get in contact with Holly. Or Susie, because
because unfortunately our emails are down. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. Right, getting back to those confessions that did make the cut. It's Grand Theft Gatto next with "Someone Left the Cake Out in the Rain," written by Jimmy Webb, Richard Harris, Donna Summer.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We have some important business to attend to in the company of Mike, who sends in today's confession. Father Simon, Brother Matthew, Sister Susie, and the Holy Gathering. Recently, my wife and I, shall we call ourselves Mandy and Mike, in order to protect my dignity and my wife's embarrassment, took a holiday at a gorgeous resort in Malta. We'd had a pretty stressful time of late with family issues and illness, that kind of thing, and the week there was going to be a time of rest and relaxation, the perfect opportunity for us to enjoy each other's company uninterrupted and discuss our potential retirements that are looming ever nearer. I'd planned to surprise my wife with a nice welcome gift such as champagne and chocolates, but due to the busyness leading up to the holiday, the plan had fallen by the wayside. However, I wanted to say a huge thank you for the constant care that she shows and support that she gives to our elderly parents and many children and grandchildren. Anyway, we settled into our room with a bottle of Prosecco that we'd bought at Aldi in Valletta en route from the airport, and we began to feel a little more chilled and relaxed. A second bottle was duly... Okay, I'm going early on this.
Wow.
When I realised I hadn't locked the hire car, I quickly rushed out to the large car park, but got a bit confused as to where I'd parked it. The two glasses of alcohol without any food for 6 hours had taken effect. Doing the math, that means Mandy has had... 4 glasses.
Okay.
However, after a few minutes, I found said vehicle, locked it, and returned to the hotel room, or attempted to. Rather embarrassingly, I had to ask at reception for my room number, as I'd forgotten it, and the door entry cards were not the standard key. It was just like a card without the number.
Oh, those ones.
You know how it goes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I decided to take the stairs. As I approached the 4th floor, I began to have brain fade again, and the 4-digit room number started to get all mixed up in my head. Thinking I was on the correct floor, I exited the stairs and proceeded to my room. However, facing the stairs door was a very large, fresh and delicious-looking cream gatto.
Ooh.
suitable for 10 to 12 people. Just sitting there on a shelf, my mind started to race at the thought of such a delicious-looking cake. I resisted with all my might to not even take a small flick of cream, but the seed had been planted. What was such a delicious cake doing there, just sitting there? I left the scene and proceeded to my room. After a few minutes and another glass of fizz, okay, we're counting now,
we are. Mm-hmm.
I simply couldn't get the cake out of my mind, and I sat on the balcony in a complete daze as my wife tried to discuss when and where we were going to eat and what our plans might be for the rest of the week. She was constantly using phrases such as, "Are you listening to me? Have you heard anything I've said? What is the matter with you?" But it was no good. The cake had taken over my whole being. As Mandy disappeared to the toilet, I spied my chance, leapt out of the room shouting, "I won't be long!" I was just fixated on the cake. Tracing my steps down the staircase to the floor below, my heart was pounding, my breathing heavy. As I rounded the last turn and exited the staircase, I stopped dead in my tracks. The cake was still there for 10 to 12 people. And being three sheets to the wind, I once again quickly surveyed the area and rapidly scooped up the cake and beat a hasty retreat. I moved as quickly as I could and thankfully had remembered my room number this time. I rushed back upstairs and into the room, plonking the delicious-looking cake on the balcony table. Mandy, just back from the loo, looked rather confused, but I said I had ordered it as a thank you for all that she has done and endured recently. And although it wasn't particularly romantic, I knew that she liked a good cake. She burst into tears of joy and gratitude and quickly darted to the kitchen for plates and cutlery. Several minutes later, half the cake had disappeared along with more fizz. We're still counting. Mm-hmm. As we continued to unwind, Mandy was so pleased with the cake. As my dad had constantly said to me, "Remember, lad, happy wife, happy life." He was right, as usual. Father Simon and the Holy Gathering, I need forgiveness for removing the cake, commonly known as stealing, from its resting place, and the deception I bestowed on the beautiful Mandy, as well as the hotel guests, who would now be a cake short. Serves 10 to 12. Finally, forgiveness is sought for lowering the standards of this gorgeous resort. The mitigating circumstances... the very high consumption of alcohol. I don't think, officer, that counts as mitigating circumstances. No. My body is simply not used to it. I could have done it at school. I don't think you could have done. But not as a 64-year-old retirement contemplating old geezer. I would also like to apologise to my wife. You thought it was a romantic gesture, but it was also grand theft. I hope this confession is up to the very high standard of your excellent programme and you'll read it out one day. Well, one day came and one day is this day. Mike and Mandy with a story of alcohol, retirement, a cake, which Mike pretended was a romantic gesture, but actually he'd just stolen it. Sister Susie.
I was with Mike for quite a while there. I like a cake. And if it is just sitting there, then, you know, what is it doing there? But the problem I have is that he lied to his wife and said that he'd ordered it just for her. And, you know, maybe he should have done that, but maybe he should actually have done it rather than stolen it. And it is for lying to his wife and pretending that he had made this grand gesture when actually he just wanted a bit of cake. I can't forgive him, I'm afraid, Mike.
Grand theft gatto, that's what this is.
Oh, very good.
What do you say, Brother
Well,
Matthew?
I mean, some people may frown on the idea of taking the cake. Not me, because who's leaving a cake out in the corridor? That doesn't make any sense. And expecting it still to be there when you go back. No point in that at all. And also, maybe it was a gift from the universe to them. Could be. Think about it.
How does that
you know,
work?
It well works by just leaving the gatto in the corridor. And at least he didn't emigrate to Canada halfway through that.
No,
so
he didn't.
That already put him above yesterday's. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Something to confess. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Interestingly, Matt, they're exposing him...
Interesting. No, whole different podcast.
Yes, no.
Let's not even think about that.
Well, what I was trying to say is you revealed yourself as someone who manifests.
Oh, no, yes.
Yeah.
Where you talk to the universe and say... give us a quid.
Yes. And does that ever work?
Yeah.
Well, it works here.
I'm pretty sure it doesn't.
Cake, please.
Cake? No cakes arrived. So manifesting, not working.
Anyway,
right
it led to another mini confession when we got to the verdicts.
And Big Kevin Darby says, "Forgiven, I did a similar thing. I found a massive cake in the hotel foyer, took it upstairs to present to my wife, but when cutting it, found it was a false one. My wife wasn't impressed, so please forgive me too."
What's the point of a false cake? Who makes a false cake?
They're normally the birthday things, aren't they?
birthday.
Do you put them in the window?
Happy birthday.
Like
have
a
fake cake. Oh, I speak. Yes, it could be in a bakery and just stays in the window.
Oh, yes. There you go. That's probably
maybe
more
that
likely.
Understands it.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks very much. Still to come on this here Confessions podcast, slightly erratic performance, I think, for everybody so far. Apart from the production team, an oasis of sanity from Holly and Susie.
Correct.
Obviously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A calamity of errors at the funeral parlour for young Sparky Freddy in burning hoops of fire. But first, it's going to be Jim's confession. Living by numbers, yeah.
Shh. You won't tell anyone.
What's your secret? Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Jim, thank you very much indeed. Another smart speaker handed out. Jim gets it. Simon and team, I hope you can find me some peace and forgiveness for my confession. In 1978, when I was 18 years old, I may have sinned. It wasn't intentional, you understand. It just sort of happened. My guess is that sisters Holly and Susie will think very badly of me. Judgy people they are, unlike Matt.
Yes.
If I'm ever up on a charge somewhere, I'd like him on the jury for
yes,
certain.
Yes, quite right.
Imagine that if you ever get called for jury service.
Oh, can't
wait. Very, very popular.
Yeah.
Wow.
So here we go. My mum, who loved a game of bingo at our local social club on a Saturday night, used to play, as we used to call it, the one-arm bandit. Or for your younger listeners, the fruit machine. Or the slot machine. The pokies, as they say in Australia. I didn't know that. Did you know?
No.
Yeah, that's what they are. Standing beside her one night, I noticed that she had dropped a £5 note out of her handbag. I, of course, picked it up and was about to give it to her back when she said, "Oh, I've run out of money." And here it is, Father Simon, the moment of truth. I don't know why, but out of my mouth came, "Oh, it's okay, Mum. I've been given a bonus this week. Here, have this fiver on me and carry on playing.
Oh,
and if you win,
what?
We can go halves."
Go halves, yeah.
Yes.
Quite right.
Well, she went to the bar to change the note into coins and she told everyone, including my sisters, what I'd done and what a lovely boy I was. Mm-hmm. At this point, I must tell you, I was the only boy and the youngest to seven sisters. I could do no wrong in my mum's eyes. They, of course, were suspicious, but went along with it. After all, as my mum used to say, James is a good boy. James is your model. I bet that went down really, really well. Just like in Joseph and his amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. I was the Joseph and they were the indignant siblings, although obviously they didn't attack me and hand me over to passing camel herders.
That's true.
Because that didn't happen a lot back in 1978. Well, things took another step, perhaps for the worse, when she won £25 with the money that I had generously given her and insisted on giving me £12.50.
Ah.
I tried to decline, but she insisted. I said, "No, Mother, really, I'll just take the original £5. So I took the £5 from her that I had given her out of the kindness of my heart. Well, what can I do? I accepted and she gave me the 20 quid. So effectively, at this point, I'd stolen £5 twice.
Oh, right, yes.
I took the £5 from her. You understand?
No.
So she took, but she gave her the first £5 back, didn't she?
I took the £5 from her that I had given her out of the kindness of my heart.
Yes.
Yep.
I accepted and she gave me the 20 quid and I handed that back, but I kept £5.
I've given you a fiver and you give me back a tenner. And then I give you another £5.
Basically, I had stolen £5 twice. Years later, she would tell the story of what a great son I was to family and friends. And although I wanted to own up as to what actually had taken place, I couldn't bring myself to admit it and disappoint her. I am now 65 and I've lived with this guilt for nearly 50 years. I beg forgiveness from you all as I was a young man and my parents' gift from God being the only boy, much to the annoyance of my elder sisters. Well, I suspect a lot of the way you're going to... Nice fade. To respond to this will be where you are, whether you're the sole sibling amongst and surrounded by the others.
Others, yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking. But fancy living there. I mean, it's not the worst sin, but the shame and embarrassment because his mum made such a big thing about it.
Yeah.
He's kept it quiet for 50 years. Sister Susie, what do you say?
Oh, I do feel a bit sorry for Jim here because I can't believe that his mum kept bringing up that story again and again and again as the time that he was that excellent boy. Just how embarrassing must you have been to know that your mum, all your mum thought of was that you were so good and actually you would have broken her, wouldn't you?
His sisters knew, didn't they? The sisters absolutely knew that there's no way he would have done that.
Yeah, but I feel like I am the youngest, and when I was younger, if my mum had dropped a fiver, I probably would have done the same thing. So, and you know, he feels so bad, and he's now 65. So I feel like that's long enough to hold that guilt. I'm going to forgive you, Jim.
Okay, all right. So he took the £5.
Yeah, gave her the £5.
Yeah.
And if she gave him £12.50, he then took another £5.
Brother Matt, what do you say?
I say I'm going to forgive because I mean, he probably was a great son anyway. We don't know, but I'm going to say he was. Yes. And his sisters sound pretty cynical to me, so I'm going to say that's what they were. And also, she wouldn't have won the £25 if it weren't for him picking up the fiver. So, you know, so she won. So she gets the £25.
But you should just have said you've dropped a fiver.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, he could have done that. Or in a way, wasn't it better to go down this? And what a bonding journey that was for them and indeed for all of us. So, as we get into the Bee Gees, I'm going to say forgive.
Confess All. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Going to give it a certificate 12, I think, or maybe it's PG-12, something like that. Father Simon and the Confessional Collective. This event took place in 1988 in Salford, which is the city I was born in and resided in, and I was a newly qualified electrician and still a bit green. One particular place of work was a local funeral director's, which was, well, that's where we are, which was one of the larger ones at the time. I had visited there a couple of times previously to lend a hand to one of the older, more experienced electricians that worked there. This particular day, I was informed by the boss that I was going alone to install a ventilation system. My boss met me on site and took me into a part of the building that I had never attended before, the Chapel of Rest. What could go wrong? Inside, there were four cubicles, all made of wood panelling, sat alone in a church-like room. He explained that I had to install a grill in each of them, which would be connected to a flexible duct, which would be installed in the ceiling void and then couple up to an extract system at a later date. Easy job, I thought, and went to get my tools from the van. Once returned, I opened the first cubicle and removed the tiles from the grid-type ceiling, clambered up the step ladders and began to cut the hole in the partition wall to the next cubicle. Once completed, I moved to cubicle 2 and repeated the work. When I pushed open the door for cubicle 3, I was greeted with a large coffin on a silver stand, with the lid removed and a smartly suited dead person, arms folded across their chest. Let's call him Keith.
Let's.
Keith. Although I had seen the dead before, this was the first time alone, and I started getting very nervous as the other cubicles were empty. I went to see the funeral director at his office and asked, please, could you move the coffin into an empty cubicle?
Yeah.
And unfortunately for me, he said he could not, as the family members were due to visit that day and pay their respects, and they have free rein to visit at any time. So I reluctantly carried on. Whilst reaching over the coffin to remove the ceiling tile, a few blobs of damaged tile fell onto Keith in the coffin. In a blind panic and not being sure what to do for the best, I nipped to the cleaner's cupboard outside and got a vacuum cleaner out. Carefully, I started to suck up the white specks from the velvet material in the coffin around the head. There was a small piece on Keith's cheek.
No.
Diligently, I tried to suck it up, but the vacuum cleaner attached its nozzle to Keith's cheek. I quickly pulled it off, but it also pulled off some of the makeup, which I didn't realise they'd used on Keith, trying to hide the much lighter patch of the chap's red face. I rolled up some paper towels to wipe his cheek, but this made it worse. Keith now looked more like adamant. Anyway, I thought, I've nearly finished here. Let's just get the towels back in the ceiling and get out. Unfortunately, in my haste, I hadn't realised I'd left my large screwdriver in the ceiling void and caught it with the tile, knocking it through the open ceiling. Like a slow-motion movie, it fell and landed slap-bang on Keith's forehead and bounced off, settling by his folded arms. When disembarking my stepladders, I noticed it had left a large flap of skin, which was protruding from Keith like a little devil's horn.
Okay. Oh, no!
No, that's not good.
Either. No. In total panic, I tried to press it down with my thumb, but it just kept popping back up again. Now, in desperation, thinking the family might arrive at any time soon, I did what I had to do, Father Simon. I quickly fetched a tube of silicone from my van and squeezed out a small blob under the flap of skin and firmly pressed down with the butt of my hammer.
Oh, right.
Holding it for 30 seconds.
No. Okay,
30 seconds. To my relief, the flap had stuck back down.
Yeah,
I gathered up my tools and fled the scene.
Yeah.
Back at work, I told nobody of my day from hell and have told nobody for over 30 years. I now feel it's time to shed this terrible day from my memories of my younger work events. I can't really ask for forgiveness from the poor chap, Keith, whose face I altered, but maybe forgiveness from his family visitors later that day. You might have been wondering who applied the makeup like that and why he looked like Adamant. Or asking, what was that thing on his forehead? Due to the demise. Anyway, I tried to make him presentable, so I hope I'm forgiven. I don't expect forgiveness from the sisters, but hoping Brother Matt has some sympathy.
Yep.
I mean, it's usually a good bet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see where we go with today's funereal confession. I mean, your heart goes out to Freddie, doesn't it? He's trying to do his best, but it didn't end up very well.
Well, he was trying to do his best, and, you know, it wasn't his fault that that man was in that room, and why couldn't they move him to a different room? They had three other rooms that were empty. Or they could have just put the lid on the coffin, surely, and therefore, if a screwdriver fell out of the ceiling,
yes,
it would have hit the outside of the coffin. So I do feel for Freddie here. I am an electrician's daughter, so I do know what he was talking about. And it was an easy job,
yes,
and he just made a muck of it. So for that reason, yeah, I'm not going to forgive him.
It wasn't the cough that carried him off, it was the coffin that carried him off in.
That's so true.
Exactly.
Thank you. A little wisdom there from the two Ronnies.
Yes.
Brother Matthew.
Well, we are certainly in 70s sitcom land here,
yeah,
aren't we?
Yeah.
I love this confession. Very, very funny. As soon as he got the vacuum cleaner out, he's like, well,
it's the proximity of the vacuum cleaner and Keith.
Too close.
And then I'm going to leave the screwdriver up there. No,
yeah,
that's not a good sign. But good use of the silicone. Well done on that, Freddie.
Not come out the edges.
Yeah, just who'd have thought that would work? And it's their fault for getting their work done. Why would they get their work done when they've got bodies there? Shouldn't have done that, should they? Maybe it's the funeral director's fault. Yes, definitely them. Definitely not the dead. Can't blame them. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's confessions.
We won't tell anyone.
What?
Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Your reasoning made absolutely no sense.
Well, I mean, you can't really blame the dead. That's I think that still holds true.
Not in this case.
No. Or indeed.
I reckon in future episodes, there'll be people writing in saying, can you do the one with dead Keith, the Hoover and the screwdriver and the flap of skin?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a classic.
Yeah.
That's
also,
right,
people, the one where the woman went to Canada.
Yes. No, we've struck gold this week, haven't we?
We have, yes.
Really good.
Anyway, if you've got something and you're inspired by all these tales and you're thinking, actually, you know, I left my kids and went to Canada, then send us a confession. confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Now, Brother Matt, this week's secret code phrase, what would it be, please?
It will come from our first confession, and it was hot as mustard.
Hot as mustard.
Yeah.
You're a mustard fan?
I like my mustard. I like it English and yellow. That's how I take my mustard.
Holly, are you a mustard fan?
I like a whole grain mustard.
Mm-hmm.
That's very, very tasty. And also a Dijon mustard. Not
French.
Too spicy.
What do you serve in the pub? This is important information.
Mm. Well, we don't do food in the pub, so we don't serve a mustard. But I quite like...
If you
like...
did serve food.
Oh, well, we would have many, many mustards for you to choose from. No, I quite like all mustards, I think. I think it depends what you're eating it with. If you've got a hot dog, then it's definitely an English mustard.
Yes.
Some of the meat, then I would go with a Dijon or a whole grain.
I quite like the squirty stuff in the yellow...
Yeah, the red,
yellow American.
And it's called Frenchy mustard,
yes,
isn't it?
Frenchy,
bizarrely, because it's English.
Yeah, that's,
so, you know.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, that was an interesting little bit of mustard
chat there, yes.
Don't get that.
No. A million listeners.
Yeah. Excellent.
Brilliant.
So what's the code phrase again?
Hot as mustard.
Hot as mustard. Okay, very good. So if you've listened this far, you can get in touch on Threads or Blue Sky. I'm trying to avoid the other place as much as possible. Or you can call in at reception.
Do try that.
Because that always goes very well.
Ask for Holly.
Or call the studio and ask for Holly. Holly's phone number is 0333. Anyway, don't forget, tell everyone about the Confessions podcast because it's back. That's it. Thank you, Sister Susie.
Cheerio.
Thank you, Sister Holly.
See you later, alligator.
Thank you, young brother Matt.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. See you next week.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Mm-hmm. Late 60s, that was.
That's right. Thank you.